I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads a moment before we begin our message. Father in heaven, you're so good to us. Thank you for promising to meet with us here. We need your presence. We ask your blessing, your Holy Spirit and your angels to draw very near in every part of this service. May the word spoken honor and uplift you. And we know and love Jesus more for having been here. In his wonderful name we pray. Amen. We're going to talk briefly about priorities. And that's really why God gave this service that we celebrate today. I have a little granddaughter. I call her Lil. She's 18. She'll always be my little granddaughter. You all know how that is. Holly's her name. She's back there in the state of Missouri. And she's in college this year. She's pre-med. And I, as a loving grandfather, told her, and I've written several letters during this semester. I said, you're taking pre-med. You're taking a lot of tough classes. You've got calculus. You've got chemistry. Blah, 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 blah. Tough courses. There were more than that. More than most people were taking. I was surprised what she was doing. She's bright. Daddy's talking. Grandpa's talking. But still, pre-med is pre-med. And I told her, I says, listen, you're going to be invited to all kinds of extracurriculars. And I says, you got to really focus on your studies now. And her mom and dad are physicians. But I said, Holly, I says, you get this first year under your belt and you'll be okay in college. And then you got to face med school. But you got to say no to some of these invitations they're going to give you. They're nice things, the things maybe later you're going to want to do, but not now. And she listened to me, and mom and dad were saying the same thing. You know, you can't tell them enough, can you, when you're their parents? I was talking to her about priorities. You know, there's the story goes, a fictitious tale of an old couple that went to a county fair. You know, they have all kinds of display booths and things to see and do at these county fairs. And something they often do, which is very interesting, I always enjoy it, is they'll bring an acrobatic pilot in with his plane. And they'll do stunts and dive and climb and roll and fly upside down and loops and twirls, and you know, it's fascinating to see them. And I don't know if you know this, but so often these are performed with biplanes, two-wing planes, because there is no piston engine plane that can do the maneuvers that a biplane can do. Crop dusters love them. You can fly them so slow, down to 45 miles an hour, and they won't stall. Straight flight. And just like that, you can make that plane hop. It just jumps in the air. It's got so much lift with two wings. It's got so much lift. And they like that. They're doing a crop dusting a field and come to the end of that field, and there's power lines along a road or there's trees, and they can just go right up over that thing just like nothing. They love them. They love them. And so they were watching this man do his thing, and he landed. Of course, the county paid him something to come in. But then he put up his big sign, and he offered to take people up for a plane ride. I used to, as a kid, look in the sky and see airplanes and think, I wonder someday if I'll ever get to take a plane ride. When I was a kid, not many people ever got in an airplane unless you were with the military. And today, most all of us have taken many plane rides. And I used to dream of flying in an airplane. And to this day, I've never been in a biplane. Because, you know, it's like driving a car versus going in a motorcycle. I mean, you see things in a car. When you're on a motorcycle, you're there. Everything's about you. And that's how it is in a biplane. It's an open cockpit. And so people enjoyed those rides. And you know how it is. There's his seat, and behind him there's another cockpit. One person can get in, and then there was one more. Three people could be on that plane. So he could take two up at a time. This elderly couple, they always wanted to take a plane ride. And so people were lined up, and they went up to him, and they said, "We want to take the plane ride, but we don't feel we can pay that much." And he brushed them off, and this went on several times. Finally, he got kind of irritated, you know. I mean, if he gave them a break, I can't charge you this much and not charge them. He didn't want them around, you know. So that went on, and finally the crowd was gone, and then they were still hanging around. And they came up to him, hit him up again, trying to negotiate a cheaper fare. He said, I want to tell you something. I'm going to make a deal with you. You pay me for this plane ride, but I'm going to give you all of it back if you don't make one peep on this plane ride. I don't want to hear one word. I don't want to hear one sound. He said, if you don't make one peep on this plane ride, you get all your money back. I'll give you every nickel back. Doesn't cost you a dime. And if you do, I keep all the money. Well, you know what kind of a plane ride they were in for. And they looked at each other, the old couple. She was a little short lady. And they agreed. They're going to take this plane ride. And they wouldn't make one peep. And so he got him in there, and he climbed higher than he'd ever climbed on the show that he put on. And he dove faster than he ever dove, and he got closer to the ground. It was scary. And he rolled and twisted and turned and spun. He did everything. He flew upside down. They got through the plane ride. He landed the plane. He got out of the plane, and he walked over there and helped the man who was kind of shaking out of the plane. Couldn't see her head in the cockpit. She was a little short lady. And he said, "Congratulations, I can't believe it." He said, "I didn't hear one word out of you. And especially somebody that talks as much as you do." He said, "Here's your money." He said, "It must have been very difficult." And the man looked down a moment, and he looked back up, and he says, "It was. Particularly when my wife fell out." Now, I didn't tell you that to be cute. And I'm very careful always when I use humor in a sermon, especially a communion Sabbath. But you can't hear that fictional story and not your heart, your mind scream, "Where are your priorities, man? Where are your priorities?" I don't think there's anyone here that hasn't at times felt like your life was out of control. You were going too fast. Life was just rushing by you. Maybe you feel like you're flying upside down sometimes. I don't think there's anyone here that hasn't felt like, "I've been through too many loops. I'm sick. My brother was a pilot. He took me for some rides. Not that extreme, but he purposely was teasing me. And he was getting to me." And you know, when we feel like that, we need to remember and have our life in focus. And we can only do that when we've got our priorities straight. Friends, in this ordinance of humility and this communion service, Jesus is helping us to get our priorities straight. And there's three big things he's teaching us in these services about priorities. Number one, I love you. I love you desperately. I love you so much, I died for you. You've heard that many times, and it's so easy to take it for granted. But you know, when we have that broken bread and we break it with our teeth, Jesus, you see, when he instituted this service, was with his disciples just hours before he knew the tragedy that was coming. It was just literally hours before Gethsemane and Calvary. Crucifixion is a horrible way to die. It's very painful by design, planned, terrible. But what killed him was not the terror and the awfulness of the crucifixion itself. It was the terribleness, the broken heart you and I gave him. I became a Christian when one night reading my Bible as a teenager, I realized, I thought life should be fair. You're nice to nice people, and you're not nice to people that aren't nice to you. That's the way I grew up. That's the world's way. But I realized for the first time, this man, Jesus, I killed him. He died because of me. I killed him. And I don't think anyone's converted until they can actually say in their heart, I killed him. I did it. I killed him. When you take this communion, you're reminded, like when your teeth break that bread, you broke his heart. That's what killed him at Calvary, a broken heart. A broken heart. A broken heart killed him. My sins killed him. Your sins killed him. He wants us to understand that and appreciate his love. And when we killed him, and when we betrayed him, and even after we take his name, when we betray him, he still calls us brother and sister. Isn't that amazing? I want to have that kind of love. I don't always have that kind of love. I want to have that kind of love. And I sure appreciate that kind of love. I need that kind of love. That's the first priority he wants to teach us. I loved you. I loved you when you didn't deserve it. And when you didn't appreciate it. And it says, after you took my name, you betrayed me. Hebrews 6, verses 4 to 6 says, when we sin, knowing better, and we sin, we crucify him afresh. Have you ever thought when you've sinned, after you took the name of Christ, I crucified him again? Okay, second thing he wants to teach us. Forgiveness. Is there anybody here? Of course not. That doesn't need forgiveness from God and our fellow man. All of us need forgiveness. And he extends that forgiveness. He said, I want you to understand about forgiveness. And I want you to extend forgiveness. There's no one here, you, I, all of us, that somebody hasn't done us wrong. And rightfully, we were hurt. We were offended. But he says, forgive them. That's not human nature. That's not the spirit that's in us when we're born and we grow up with. He says, I want you to accept my forgiveness And I have met so many people as a pastor, they don't feel they could ever be forgiven. But he gives us that wonderful promise. 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, you can finish it. He is faithful. Say it with me. And just to forgive. That's beautiful, isn't it? He really does offer you forgiveness that he wants you to accept, grab hold of. Know how much you broke his heart, but he still loves you, still calls you brother and sister. Know that he gives you forgiveness. Won't you forgive somebody else? And that's what this communion service, that's what this ordinance of humility is all about. That's what it's all about. And some of us need to be talking to some others here or out there, wherever. You know? I want to be in the kingdom. You do too. Yeah, we're here to help and encourage each other. Third big lesson he wants to teach us. None of us can be in that kingdom without a servant spirit. We need to understand that we're here to minister and to help each other. All of us are called to be ministers. And he says, I want you to know, whatever talent, whatever kind word you can speak, whatever energy, whatever dollar you can give, I want you involved. I want your service. Every one of you is a servant, a person of service, or you're not in it. That's what he's teaching us. We're here to serve each other. I'm no better than you. I will never forget when I was pastoring down in El Paso many decades ago. It was the best church I ever had in my life. Never pastored a church like that. I used to stand up in the pulpit every Sabbath and tell the people. I had lots of visitors there. The big military base and I-10 for 100 miles. There wasn't anything either side. Not quite 100 miles to the west, but it was a long way from nowhere. And people stopped through there. And, you know, I used to stand up in that pulpit and tell the folk, you know, this church is so friendly. You just come here two or three times and you'll always come here. How many pastors can say that about how many churches? That church was so friendly. And people thought, I'll try you out. And they come back, and boy, I tell you, for long they say, this is my home. This is my home. And I had a cowboy. He'd just been there once or twice. I mean, he was a real cowboy. His horse won the quarter horse championship for the state of New Mexico. And I could tell you so much more about him, the Byron family. But, you know, he'd just been there once or twice. Pulled off his boots, I washed his feet, and he told me, he said, the church I used to go to, and it was a very common, popular church across the nation, he said, that pastor would never wash my feet. And I thought, you know, it didn't make me feel proud, but I thought, how sad. The Lord wants us to understand we're here. None of us is better than another. So he wants us to understand how much he loves us in spite of it. He wants us to understand how much we hurt him, but he still loves us. He wants us to understand there's forgiveness to give and to get. And he wants us to understand we're each one here to serve. And you know, in your church, you got many wonderful things going on here. Your health outreach programs, you got a wonderful school across the driveway here. I mean, there's a place where everybody can find a place where you can fit in and in some way minister. In the Kiddies Sabbath School, we have these small groups starting that Pastor James is going to lead you in. And, you know, you've just got wonderful things going on here. There's a place for everybody. There's some place you can find a niche and contribute. Some of you just need to write a letter or get on the telephone and tell somebody, been missing you, love you, praying for you. Man, that's the best sermon None of my sermons can match that. That's the best sermon. That's somebody feeling a human touch. Yeah. Lord's servant said, take him a loaf of bread. Take him a loaf of bread, you know. Hopefully it's homemade, but if it's not, that's okay. Take him a bag of apples, oranges, you know. Something out of the garden. That's real religion. That's real religion. Yeah, yeah. Well, let's read what the Lord says about this service of humility. Here we go, John 13. Passover feast was there. Jesus knew his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world. He loved them to the end. The supper being ended, the devil having put in the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray him, Jesus, knowing the Father, had given all things into his hand, that he would come from the Father and went to God. He rises up from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, girded himself, poured a basin of water, began to worship the disciples' feet. Came to Peter. Peter said, no way. Get away from me. You are too good for this. You are not going to wash my feet. He was very sure and proud that he was doing the Lord right. And Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you don't have a whit, nothing to do with me. Peter says, Lord, don't say that. Wash me all over. Jesus said, no, that's not what's needed. That's not what's needed. Jesus goes on. He says, verily I say unto you, you call me master and Lord, you say well. If I then, your master and Lord, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you should do as I've done to you. Verily I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. This is getting your priorities straight, friends. Let's enjoy the ordinance of humility. And if you've never celebrated this before, you can observe, you can watch, or someone will help you participate and take part in it. Your bulletin list right there, each of the different rooms you can go to, and we'll divide now for that service. And you've really got a lot of good musical talent in this church, I'll tell you. Makes me happy. Music's powerful. Most beautiful sermons ever preached are sung. They really are, really are. Well, I'm reading to you now from 1 Corinthians 11. Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. I'm going to ask the congregation to remain seated while the two elders with me here on the platform kneel with me and offer the prayer over our emblems.
We do just come to you now in the humblest of spirits that we can, dear Lord. We see what you have done for us, and we are in awe. Dear Father, we thank you so much for your broken body, represented by this bread. As we eat it, dear Father, may it truly be your spirit that comes in us, that lives in us, that gives us strength each day to carry out whatever it is that you want for us to do. Thank you, dear Lord, for your willingness to give it all for me.
Amen.
For in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus and for his willingness to come here and pay the price that he paid for me and for all of us. I thank you that it's his blood, Father, that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And I ask for forgiveness, Father. And as we drink this juice that represents his blood, Father, I just pray that your spirit will give us a greater understanding of the depth of the love that you have for us.
Amen.
For we know, Father, that the reason he came and died on that cruel cross is because he loved me, because he loved all of us.
Amen.
And we just praise you and thank you that you allow us to come before you, Father, with the assurance of that love, and that salvation is assured in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
In his name, amen.
Amen. I want to remind you that once a quarter, when we observe this service, we have a special offering at the back of the church there in the foyer. There'll be a deacon or deacons standing there with an offering plate. It's called the love offering, and it goes towards helping those in our own church. Nearly all of our offerings go to help others, but those in our own church that may have a special need, that's what that love offering is about. I also want to mention to you that after we have partaken of these emblems, I'm going to give us a few minutes to share some testimonies. And I want you to stop and think. There's something special God's done for you. Praise his name. Thank him. And I want to caution you, as I allow you to do this, don't take advantage of it, in that you go on and on. I want to hear from you. The congregation wants to hear your testimony. But sometimes people forget. Others want to speak, and they start talking at length. I want you to share what the Lord puts on your heart, but I want you to keep it so brief, like 2 minutes. Okay? Thank you. Jesus said, take and eat. This is my body that was broken for you. Jesus invited them to drink of the cup, and he said, this represents the new covenant, my blood that was spilled for you. I'd like to take a moment at communion time and give you the opportunity to praise God and share your testimony, what he's done for you. And we have some mics that these deacons will be sharing with the audience. So just raise your hand and they will come to you.
I just want to say how thankful that I am for 55 years of marriage with my dear husband.
Amen. Hallelujah.
We've been in good health all of these years, except for the cold weather has made me kind of stiff. But other than that, we've been in good health. We have a lot to be thankful for.
He says we got a marriage to look forward to in heaven with him. Yeah.
I just want to thank the Lord for Jesus that died on the cross to save me from my sins.
Thank you, Sister James. Thank you. And I want to thank you both for the nice church you left me to step into as I followed you at Gresham. Yeah.
I'd like to thank the Lord for continuing to draw me all of my life and encouraging me to walk closer with him, and that we get a second chance every morning to do just that.
I would like to thank the Lord for giving me a calling of caregiving. And one of my past ladies has asked me to come back to her again. And I took some time away, but she's asking me to come back. And also being able to caregive for Paula Chapman, a member of this church. I'm thankful that God called me into caregiving, and I pray that he will continue to lead me.
Praise the Lord for good caregivers. Right up here.
Last Thanksgiving, we woke up, and there was no water in the house. And, you know, before I knew the Lord, my first thought would be, this is terrible. But, you know, I thought, how often do I thank him for the menial things? Water, a house over my head, a nice warm house, good health. All the wonderful things that he does for us every day. And we need to be aware of that and just give thanks for the everyday things, not just the wonderful thing he did on the cross. But that is the most wonderful thing he did for us.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I see a hand over here.
I've always been thankful for it, but it wasn't until this year when I lost my mom that I'm really thankful for it, that because of his death on the cross, he gained the victory over death, and that death here on this earth, as long as we cling to Jesus and make him our best friends, we don't have to be afraid of that, that we will live again, and we will have eternity with him and our loved ones, and I look forward to that day.
Wow. Beautiful sermon that he gave us. Praise the Lord. That's right.
I want to thank God for the young people in our congregation had the opportunity to wash young Brother Beckner's feet, and I really appreciate his service to our church.
Praise the Lord.
Hi. I would like to thank the Lord for many things this last year. I appreciate that he came and died for us, but he also gave us the emotion of love because he exemplified it in his life on this earth and also in creation. I'm very, very thankful for my family. We all have trials and whatever else that goes on with a family. But I consider this church also my family. I thank you for all the wonderful things, the happy smiles I see Sabbath morning. I'm so thankful for the blessings that he has given all of us and that he will give us the power to overcome sin and temptations because Amen. He died for us. And I am so thankful for that. And again, as you all know, my family, I'm like a mother chick, a hen, I think, with a little chicks running around. I don't care if they're 56 years old. I'm still very much in love with them. Thank you.
Amen. Amen.
I just want to praise the Lord for our church family here and also for the love and prayers that came our way in my sister's passing, and that we have the ability to look forward to when Jesus comes, we'll meet again.
I want to speak up on that point. My wife and I got to know Sue. My wife had a lot of fun singing with her. We had her over to our house many times. She was a special lady. We loved her very much. And I was so, so grateful when I heard that her last day or two, you were at her side time and again. And her last grip to hold someone was holding on to her brother, praising the Lord and you praying for her. Amen. That's what church and family is all about. And that's what the hope of the resurrection is all about. We're going to see Sue again one day. Praise God.
I don't know if I can follow that. I've got a few tears coming. I'm very thankful for the gift of prayer and that God gave us the ability to speak to him directly anytime, anywhere. We don't get a busy signal ever. And I wish we all appreciated prayer in the full sense. And I am extremely thankful for my prayer partner. We have, both of us, grown immensely in the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 years we've been doing this. I've lost track. But I am so thankful that God laid it on Charlene's heart to call me because she has truly been an inspiration and a gift.
Amen.
And I just thank God truly for the gift to speak to him.
Amen. And you and your dear family are such a blessing to this church. We are so happy you're part of this church. Yeah. Someone else? Let's open our hymnals. And we'll sing the closing hymn. Oh, I'm sorry. Missed somebody? Right here. Yeah. Charlene.
I was just going to second a lot of what has been said here today, and especially Gail, because this year it seems like a lot of things have happened. So many tragedies, and the world just seems to be in upheaval. And yet, I just realize all the more how God has watched over us. He's blessed us. And we have so much to be thankful for that we really should take the time to look for those things and praise him for them.
Amen. That's keeping your priorities straight. Oh, my wife's got to say something else.
I just wanted to remind you that all the power is released from heaven when we pray. Yeah. And just think, our big power on this earth is the nuclear power and the atomic bomb. Imagine that. And that's what power we have to ask for from heaven. And he hears us and he loves us and he's willing to give us everything he can if we ask for the right things.
Amen. 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 Let us take our hymnals and we'll open our hymnals to Joy to the World. What page is that? Say it again. 125. Okay, thank you. Stand.
Joy to the world, my Lord.
the elders leave the platform, you are dismissed.